Good evening, folks. It is Wednesday night, and that means that you are listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. I am your co-host, Bunkhouse Bob, and with me, as always, is the lovely... No. Laura is not here this evening, folks, and I'll tell you what, the studio is cold, it's dark, it feels empty and lonely without Laura here. All of the flowers have begun to die. Everything's just, the leaves are falling. It's like going into a long, cold winter again. No, it's not. It's spring outside. The trees are starting to bloom. The sky is blue. The sun's coming back out. And Laura, unfortunately, is not here tonight, folks. She is on business. She is traveling. She is in. She is going to Hotlanta for her job. So we're not going to have Laura here this evening, but we do have an excellent guest co-host, and I'll get to him in just a moment. But Laura did want me to tell you something, folks, that her not being on the show is not a complete loss because she received her weekly Sunday selfie from former show guest Cameron Cade this past week, whose shirts can now be purchased on ProWrestlingTees.com. So all is right in Laura's world. All is right. And the other thing is, I won't have to hear Laura talk about Caleb Conley for the next hour and, 45 minutes. So it's good on my end, too. We don't have to talk about Caleb Conley. So without further ado, I want to bring in, as promised, the winner of our contest and tonight's guest co-host. He is also the number one contender for the Milestone Heavyweight Championship, which will be decided on April 12th in a hardcore skewer match against a one up-and-coming and defending and tough-as-nails competitor in Colt 45. So without further ado, folks, bring in a guest co-host, Hardcore Terry F. in Houston. Terry, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good for a Wednesday night. I can't complain. How are things in your neck of the woods?
Not too bad. Pretty good. Making it.
Yeah.
Another day at the sign. Another week at the sign shop building signs, but not bad.
Yeah. Did you build a sign that says, "The champ is here"?
I didn't, because that's not really guaranteed yet. But I'll see to that on the 12th.
That's right. That's right. April the 12th. Milestone Wrestling. You and Colt 45, I've sung both of your praises. I think this is probably going to be a match not only for those that are not a faint of heart, but for those that enjoy hardcore wrestling, because this is a 1,000 skewer match, if I remember right, or if I'm thinking of how it's built, or it's just built as a skewer match. Am I correct?
It's something along those lines. I know the gist of it is just stab the other person with the skewers.
I see. So it's going to be like whoever gets skewered first will be considered the winner. Is that correct?
Actually, I think somehow, and it's beyond me how this is going to work, but supposedly the one who gets stabbed the most is supposed to lose.
Good God Almighty, Terry.
So, evidently we're both going to take a lot. So as long as I take less than he does, I win.
This has Vince Russo written all over it. This could be called a porcupine on a pole match.
I never thought about it like that, but I guess.
Well, I mean, I've seen your handiwork, in pictures. I've seen it done to Jeff Hart. I've seen it done to you,
Mike Levy.
Mike Levy. I mean, there's something. Something's not right about it. The human pincushion. Was what you're telling me? They're going to. Who in the hell's responsible for counting the number of skewers that are stuck into either you or Colt 45?
I don't know, but I hope they do them kind of quick because I'm not very fond of them.
I can understand why. Jesus, I didn't realize that was going to be the stipulation. That's crazy, but you heard it here first, folks. Whoever has the most skewers in them Oh, God. And I know you and I have talked about this before, and I always throw out that idiotic question, and you always give me the don't ask the dumb question, Bob, answer. I always say, Terry, how do you prepare for a match like that? And then you say,
Bob, I don't know if you can.
And that's how it goes, folks. That's how it goes. So there's going to be no preparation required for this skewer match. All you have to do is buy your ticket April the 12th for Milestone Wrestling and go see Colt 45 and Terry F. in Houston in probably what will be a match for the ages. Like I said, unbelievable. I didn't realize that it was going to come down to that. I know that Laura, and I forgot to mention this to you, Terry, and I was hoping that you might have some information, and if folks don't, if folks out there do have it, I'm sorry, you can call us at 213-816-1605, or you can tweet us. Our Twitter account is @FromTheArmory. And one other thing I wanted to mention, and I always do this. See, this is why I miss Laura, because she sends me messages and stuff. You know, right off the bat, I forgot to tell everybody, in the 8 o'clock hour, our guest tonight is Seymour Snot from Gouge Wrestling, probably one of the funniest guys on Facebook that I know. His posts are just timeless. He put up a couple over this past weekend that just had me in tears. Guy has an incredible sense of humor. But Laura had wanted me to mention that XWW is having an event on Sunday, March 30th. Terry, do you know anything about that event?
Very little. I know it's at Kate's Skating Rink in Indian Trail, North Carolina, right off Highway 74, right outside Charlotte.
That's more information than what I had.
It's a Sunday afternoon, Sunday night show.
Okay.
I know some of the names there, Jason Cross, Fireball, which is the XWW Hardcore Champion. Dreams will be
Justin,
there.
Is that Justin Fireball?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
He's got something I want there, too.
What's that, a key to the back door, or what's he got?
His XWW Hardcore title.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I'm the King of the Deathmatch tournament winner there, but I can't even get a shot. So, you know, that kind of makes me unhappy.
I understand.
Stroh from old WCW days, he'll be there.
Okay. I follow him on Facebook, too. That's good to know.
Real good guy. He is as genuine as they come. I cannot say enough good stuff about that guy. But, it's Manny's first show back. It's what it is. We're just going to go out and see how things go. I'm going to go down and hang out and sell shirts and meet and greet and maybe jump Justin Fireball and knock some sense into him.
Sounds like a fun time at the old dance house is what it sounds like.
Actually, it's a skating rink.
Well, there you go. Terry Quick on the wit tonight. That's what I'm talking about. Folks, if you'd like to talk to Terry or myself, the studio number again is 213-816-1605. And, folks, you're going to find out strangely absent tonight if you follow us on social media, and I know there are quite a few of you that do. You will not see any posts tonight, I believe, from the Facebook account unless Laura is remote posting, and she usually handles the Twitter account.
She better be listening.
And so, I'm sorry?
She better be listening.
Well, I don't know what her schedule was with this travel for her work. I don't know if she had the ability to tune in and listen, or I know that she was at the airport a couple hours ago, so I just don't know. I don't know how it was going to work out for her. But strangely absent, if you see him or don't see all of the posts that Laura usually puts up. Laura is like the queen bee of social media for our program. You'll know, I'll try to get a few things out, but it's hard for me most of the time, folks, to talk and think at the same time. As I get older, it gets harder. But there are, and we talked about this before we went on the air, and I put a post out about this, folks. I counted it up. and there are over 15 independent wrestling shows this weekend scattered throughout the country. So if there is an indie promotion that is in your area, and we're going to try to cover all 15 of them, we're going to at least give you the information, because we here at Live from the Armory, we support indie wrestling. If you know of a promotion that's in your area or a local indie wrestler that is in your area and you don't hear them mentioned on our show, please call us, tweet us, send us a post on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and search Live from the Armory, you'll find our page there. Send us a message and let us know, and we will try to get it out on the air. The first one that I know about is PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, is having a show called Mystery Vortex 2. This is Friday night, March 28th, 8 p.m. bell time at the American Legion Post 308 in Reseda, California. The entire card is a mystery, thus the name Mystery Vortex 2. PWG is probably the only promotion that I know of that can pull this off and make a success out of it, given the fact that the wrestlers that they have come out for their shows, where they can put...
Amen.
Amen. Yep, they can put
Nobody
out
else
zero...
Can do that.
Yep, exactly. They can put out zilch. I'm telling you, folks, you can go to the website, www.prowrestlinggorilla.com, and it will tell you plainly on there that the entire lineup is a mystery. There are no wrestlers that are announced or confirmed. And they're the only ones
that
know.
And I,
what's that, sir?
They will still sell the house out.
I was getting ready to say that. You're absolutely right. They will sell the house out because of the people that they get out there to wrestle. I know that, you know, I know some of the names, and these aren't the names. I'm not saying that these are the names that are on this card, but they get wrestlers like Kevin Steen, Adam Cole, bunch of others. Chris Hero's been out there. You know, they get a ton of wrestlers out there, and they put on quality matches. So if you're in the Reseda area, go and check out PWG show. A promotion that's not too far off the road down from you, Terry, Champions CWF Mid-Atlantic, is having an event called Madness in Any Direction. This is Saturday, March 29th. Bell time is 7:30 from Gibsonville, North Carolina at the Sportatorium. Eric Royal defends the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship against Marcellus King. There is a no DQ match for the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Belts. The champs, Mecha Mercenary, take on the Killbillies. And from everything that I have been told and everything that I have seen, both of these tag teams are lights out. I mean, just phenomenal. Mark James gets another shot at Chase Dakota's TV title. Plus, there are many more matches that I'm not listing for you because there are a ton of shows. Info for Mid-Atlantic is CWF247.com. They're not too far down the road from you, are they, Terry?
No, they're it's about an hour and a half up Highway 85 up towards Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one, and we're going further up north. 3A Wrestling, and I don't think I've ever mentioned 3A Wrestling before. Saturday, March 29th, from Orillia, Ontario, Canada, at the ODCVI
wow.
Secondary School. Bell time is 6 o'clock. There were some, what caught my eye on this was some of the names. Jeff Jarrett, Tyson Ducks, Cody Diener, Jules Malone, Karen Jarrett, Robbie McAllister, and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan will be at that show. And if you're interested in finding anything out, anything on them, if you're going to be in Canada, you can go to 3awrestling.com. I know
I'm
booked
Saturday night. I can't get there.
You can't get up to Canada? I can't either.
No, I'm booked Saturday night.
You're booked Saturday night, right. Where are you booked at Saturday night?
In Lexington, North Carolina.
For what promotion?
XCW.
Okay.
I think it's Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Let me see something here, because I think I have that on my list, Terry. Hold on.
I may have beat you to it.
Yeah, I think you did. I've got Extreme Outlaw, Extreme Vintage. I don't have it, so give me the info.
The info is I'm going to be making my first defense of my heavyweight title up there.
Where's the event going to be at, Terry?
It's in Lexington, North Carolina. It's a National Guard Armory.
Okay. When's the bell time on that, do you know?
I do believe it is at 8, but it very well may be at 7.
Okay. And who are you going to be facing?
That I do not know.
You don't know? So it's a mystery opponent. See, they're having a mystery show, too.
Well, it became a mystery during the week when I questioned on who I was wrestling, and she said the guy that I was supposed to, now get this, in the middle of the week, did not have the gas money to get there.
Now, that's what I call working off of a tight budget.
So, you know, I either he didn't have the money or I scared him, one of the two.
Well, I'll go with the latter. I mean, it's not that hard to come up with $10 in gas money, unless he had to drive a long way.
Brother, I don't know. But, you know, if you book, try to show up somewhere.
That's the idea. Or you may not get booked again.
I'm going to see to it that he don't, because I've been told that's the second time.
The reason why I had brought up the 3A wrestling thing is that there's been some rumors and there's been some swirling, and there's been a couple of posts put up on YouTube by Jeff Jarrett that he is currently involved or will be involved with a how shall I word this? What's the word that I'm looking for? A business venture, shall we say, that involves wrestling. Jeff Jarrett will be back in the wrestling business. We'll have some more information as that comes up a little bit closer. If my memory serves me right, I believe it's like in mid-April that they're supposed to make another announcement. I think they're going to let the hubbub from WrestleMania die down, and him and Karen are going to make an announcement. I have an idea of what it may be, but I'm not going to give it out. I'm going to hold on to it until he makes the official announcement. A lot of people have been mentioning Toby Keith's name. There was a post that was put out by another wrestling program that said that there may be a television opportunity for this business venture, that it was kind of tossed up in the air between CMT, Spike, which TNA's contract for airing programming is due up very soon, and there are rumors that Spike is just not happy with the viewership numbers, with the Nielsen numbers. If you remember, not too long ago, folks, I think it was probably about 5 or 6 months ago, I reported on another program that the show, the syndicated show Cops, which runs before TNA on Spike, has a higher viewership, a higher Nielsen rating than what TNA does, and Cops is a syndicated rerun show. It's their best-selling show or best-viewed show other than the MMA shows that they were running. So the other name that was thrown out was that TBS was looking to get back into the wrestling programming business, but all that's a bunch of rumor and innuendo. You're going to have to wait until Mr. Jarrett makes the formal announcement, but that's what caught my eye, that he's doing some wrestling in Canada this weekend. Good friend of the show, Allie Parker, who's been on this show before, Adrenaline Unleashed Pro Wrestling, Saturday, March 29th from the Desert Breeze Park in Las Vegas, Nevada, presents Extreme Thing. This is part of what there's a music festival that's going on out there. If I remember right, bands such as Killswitch Engage and several others. This is an all-day event. They will be part of that. On the card, there's a Six Sides of Hell steel cage match, Bryce Slavin versus Angus McField, Las Vegas Championship title match, Pretty Peter Avalon, who is also wrestling in championship wrestling from Hollywood, versus Tommy Misfit. Also scheduled to appear, Joey Ryan, Candice LeRae, our good friend Allie Parker, and many others. you can find information on Facebook on this at Adrenaline Unleashed. So if you're in the Las Vegas, Nevada area and you want to check out a good show, Adrenaline runs a good program out there. So you might want to check that out. Local hometown promotion from my area, Terry, I don't know if you've ever heard of these guys, Bayou Independent Wrestling is going to be running a show on Saturday from Brookhaven, Mississippi, at the Lincoln County Multipurpose Center. The bell time there is 7:30. Tim Storm versus Vordell Walker in a no DQ falls count anywhere match. Also on the card, John Saxon. Laura and I were talking about him last week. I'm a big John Saxon fan. Andy Dalton, Jeremy Osman, more. You can find them on Facebook if you simply just search Bayou Independent Wrestling. Are you familiar with any of those guys, Terry?
That Saxon, the guy, sounds familiar.
He's Vordell. Wrestled, yeah, you know Vordell?
Yeah.
Okay. Saxon's wrestled most recently for TCW. He's doing work for Elite. He'll be at the Mid-Atlantic Fan Fest, Wrestling Legends Fan Fest. It's coming up on April the 4th, and we'll talk about that, or Laura will probably talk about that next week. He's been what they call the Redneck Dean Malenko. The guy is probably one of the better technical wrestlers that I've seen wrestle in the South. And I've actually seen him wrestle in person. Really fluid, really, really solid wrestler. I wished he would get some looks up north, but he seems to be content in working, working this area. He's got a pretty good fan base down here.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. You got to stick with where you draw. So
that's
NLW Border Bash presents Miracle Mayhem Saturday, March 29th from the Miracle Center in Monroe, North Carolina. Bell time is 7:30. I think you know this guy. Lodi is going to be there. Jason Cross, Eric Adams, Garrett Sinclair, and many others. You can find them on Facebook. Just search in NLW Wrestling, and you can find them. Have you ever worked against Lodi? I know you've mentioned his name to me a couple of times.
I have not. I've been on several shows with him and been on the back with him several times, but I've never been in the ring with him, though.
What kind of guy is he like back behind the curtain, Terry?
He's pretty much what you see is what you get. He's kind of lively. He kind of sticks to his own, but he comes in, does his job, and leaves like a true professional. And he's very easy to get along with. He's just a good guy.
Cool. NWA Houston, Saturday, March 29th, VFW Post 8905 in Cypress, Texas, 7:30 bell time. Stars on this card are Mike Dell, who I believe is still the Wildcat heavyweight champion, and that would be Luke Hawks' promotion from down south. Byron Wilcott, I've seen him wrestle. He's a good guy. Scott Summers. Cat Green, Barbie Hayden, former show guest Matt Riviera will be there as well. You can find out information. And this was a new one for me, too, in looking into this. You can find information out on him, nwahouston.com. And I remember Laura and I had a conversation when, there was an NWA card that caught my attention, and I can't remember if Rob Conway was on the card or not, and her and I had a discussion, and George Coles got involved with it. If we felt, and I'll ask you this question, Terry, because you know what I'm talking about here. Does the NWA name, or does the NWA hold as much weight as it did in the past to you today?
No. It does just for the name brand recognition of it, but as far as what it is, I don't think it holds its weight what it did 20, 25 years ago. No, there's no way.
I know that there's been a big resurgence. I mean, I see a lot of cards with NWA on it, and I know that George had told us that at one point in time the name had been franchised out, and, you know, I mean, there are several incarnations, and we'll talk about another one. As a matter of fact, there's another one right after this, NWA Smoky Mountain. You know, and you and I know that back in the day, the NWA was actually a conglomerate of promotion owners that actually voted on who who should be the champion and who kept it and where they would go from territory to territory.
Who works.
Exactly. And today, but, I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's still like what George was saying. If there are so many different incarnations of the NWA, you know, I mean, I know that there's a guy that I follow on Facebook that's heavily involved, and I want to say his name is Bruce Tharp. Is that right? That's involved with the NWA?
Okay. He's the ringleader.
Okay. And I know they travel. I mean, I see his posts all the time about traveling overseas, you know, going to Japan and, you know, I think they were going to another Asian country to do some work. And, you know, I don't know if it's getting a real big push to do that type of resurgence again.
I'm not sure about it overseas, but as far as here in the States, I know that they'll basically take anybody's $10,000 or $12,000, whatever they charge for their name branding now, but they'll gladly take that and let you hold the NWA name for a year.
Hmm. Well, that kind of that leads me to this one, and I know this is I know this particular incarnation has been around for a while. NWA Smoky Mountain, out of Kingsport, Tennessee, Battle for the Belts, 8 p.m. bell time, and I've talked about this guy a ton, Jason Kincaid, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing because I'm a Jason Kincaid fan. Puts his 900 day. NWA Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion title reign on the line as he faces the prodigy Vince Brent. And that tells me one of two things, okay? If you've been the NWA Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion for 900 days, there's one of two things. Either you're that damn good or every opponent that you face is that damn bad. One of the two.
There's a lot
I'm just
of truth
saying.
To that, Bob.
I'm just saying. I mean, 900 days is a long freaking time to hold the belt.
For anything. For anything.
For anything. I don't know if I've done anything 900 days straight except maybe eat and sleep and go to the bathroom.
And breathe.
And breathe. And blink. See, there's a bunch. So I guess it's possible. Main event, NWA World Tag Team Champs. Here they go. Rob Conway and Jax Dane, that's the guys I'm thinking of, defend in a three-way contest against the Lords of Pain and the Illuminati, and there's other matches that are on the card. You can find out the information on that, NWASmokyMountain.com. I know that Rob Conway was, I want to say just as recently as 45 days ago, was listed as the reigning NWA heavyweight champ. So that's where the whole NWA thing. Is he? I thought that he had lost the belt in one of those overseas. You see, that's the whole thing. You know, I thought he lost the belt in one of those overseas trips. You know, and it's too hard to follow because there's just too many damn promotions.
Oh, hell. Ric Flair lost it 477 times.
Do what?
I said, oh, hell. Ric Flair lost it 477 different times.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Pro Wrestling Express.
What goes on at a house show stays at a house show.
That's right. That's right. As long as there's not a camera there, it's not televised, or it didn't end up in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, nobody would ever know. Let's see. Pro Wrestling Express presents When Worlds Collide. This is Saturday, March 29th from the PWX Wrestleplex in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. 7:30 bell time, PWX Three Rivers title match, Tanner Reynolds versus Matt Justice. Also scheduled to appear, Revolution, Bobby Beverly, Ryan Rain, Patrick Hayes, and many more. Info for this one is pwxwrestling.org. Again, this is the PWX that's in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Here's one that I know that you may be familiar with, Absolutely Intense Wrestling. Have you ever seen anything from them, Terry?
I don't think so.
See? I find all kinds
of stuff.
I find all kinds of stuff.
I'm interested. Keep talking about it.
Absolutely Intense Wrestling presents Girls Night Out 11 and 12 taping.
Now I'm even
Saturday.
More interested in it.
You better watch it. You might end up with a skillet to the head instead of a skewer to the head if you're not careful. taping Saturday, March 29th from Turner Hall in Cleveland, Ohio. It's two tapings in one, so the bell time is at 3 o'clock. You can see stars such as Mickey Knuckles, Mia Yim, Jenny Rose, and one of my personal favorites, Sassy Steph, will be in action there as well. So if you're in the Cleveland, Ohio area, please check that show out. You can find information about them for AIW Wrestling, or it's AIWrestling.com. And a lot of folks ask Laura, we get questions, so on and so forth, and I put this out on Facebook over the weekend. They were like, well, why don't you guys list on your website? And if you go to our Twitter account, you can find the link to our website. Why don't you guys put out the list of all of your guests that are coming up for the show? And, you know, I'm like a guy that likes surprises and stuff. So I don't like listing the names, but I can tell you that one of the names that I just read off that Absolutely Intense Wrestling will be a guest on our show. She also does work for Shine. We have people from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood coming up. We have people coming up from PWX. We have people coming up from $5 Wrestling. We have people coming up from all different kinds of promotions that are around the area. So don't be surprised. You never know who's going to show up. And we got a phone call, Terry. Let's see who this is. I think I know who this is.
Hope it's Raider Rock.
It's not. 864, you're on with Live Armory.
It's Mr. Schlesinger Thompson. Don't ever call me Raider.
Oh, God, I knew it.
So
not Raider Rock.
I knew where it was.
What are you doing, Eric?
Not much. Called in and listen to the guest host. You know, I'm going to see this guest host in a few weeks at Milestone Wrestling. And then I'm going to be facing him in a couple weeks, in a little over a month, at another show. So just calling to listen into him.
I see. What's the other show that you two are going to be wrestling each other at?
I think it's called, and now you might have to help me with this one, Terry. It's Justin Fireball's Grindhouse birthday bash.
Yeah,
Extravaganza. There we go.
Where's this event being held at?
Tremont Music Hall in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Very cool. Very cool. And I'm sure that we will get an update on it. We'll run down that show. We'll run down that show as the date gets closer, but is it going to be a straight-up match for you guys? Do you know?
Terry, go ahead. Tell them, Terry.
Well, from what I've been told is the loser gets 5 kendo stick lashes.
Oh, Lord. More violence.
So,
violence begats violence.
It's always violence, you know. It's almost a hate crime if you think about it. I say it's hateful to them, us to face each other.
I just can't get away from it.
Terry, in the immortal words of Josie Wales, Terry, sometimes trouble just follows a man.
Yeah, that's very well true.
Now, Eric.
I did.
On the flip side of that, though, if I remember right, going back through my mind, there was a young wrestler by the name of Tommy Dreamer that was involved in a match that involved a kendo stick that actually launched his career, actually put him over.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, I mean, there's one thing about sleeves that not a lot of people know. I think that every time if I do lose this match, which I don't plan on losing, If I get hit with this kendo stick, you know what? It might turn me on. I'm just saying.
God.
I like pain.
I'm sure that Terry appreciates that.
In that case, there could be another volunteer that's matching you with it then.
I did want to mention a show this weekend coming up. Actually, I got two that you might not have on your list.
Go on and give them to me.
All right, March 29th in Belmont, North Carolina. It's going to be Stars and Stripes at the Belmont National Guard Armory. 50% of all proceeds are going to go to the local food bank and to the crisis centers around the area. It's got a big card. They're going to crown the first ever Stars and Stripes wrestling champion that night. A lot of people on the card, Zane Riley. Drew Myers from PWX is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Mean Dean Richards is going to be there. It's going to be a good time. I think tickets are $10 or $12, one of the two. I'm not exactly sure. I think if you bring in a bag of non-perishable food items, that you get $2 off of ticket price. Next day, March 30th, Casey, South Carolina, at the Hangar, which is a bar down there. It's close to Columbia, South Carolina, home of the Gamecock, go Cocks. It's going to be Russell Force presents Unleashed. Main event is going to be Caleb Conley, who is defending
his
newly won.
Stop. Stop.
We were trying to go all night without that.
He's going to be going against Cedric Alexander, though. So.
Bob, hang up on him.
I should. I should hang up right now. Damn it, Eric. 37 minutes into the show. 37 minutes into the show.
I'm sorry. Go on. Carry on. Forget it.
It's already done now. It's already done. Go on.
Also, the Bravado brothers are going to be there, and they're going to be facing the team of the Love and Hate Machine, which is John Schuyler and Steven Walters, who you talked about last week, who just got an NXT deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a good show down that way.
Is that, Eric, just so, as out of curiosity, do you know if that's going to be his last indie appearance?
I'm not exactly sure. I haven't seen all his dates, but it might be. I'm not exactly sure, so don't quote me on it.
Well, if you get down that way,
he's supposed to be reporting at the start of May.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know that they're pretty funny about that. I mean, once the pen's put to paper, you know, they want you to fulfill your commitments if you already have prior commitments. So, but you know, I'd be interested to know if he knows, and if you want to send us that information, if that's going to be his last one or what's going to be his last show, so we could get that information out. Do what?
I'm on it.
Terry's on it.
He's above and below me. He's already there.
Yep. No, and to be honest with you, I did have the Scars and Stripes. I did have that down. I also had down another one that I thought that you were on, and I might have had this mixed up. Are you on a card, Eric, for Saturday at the RCA Fairgrounds
and
for Extreme Vintage Wrestling?
That show got that company has closed temporarily. The owner's daughter, the owner, he has a daughter, and she had, she has gotten a mass on her liver, and he decided that he was going to close his doors for a little bit and dedicate his time to getting her better and healthy, and I applaud him for that, and I respect the hell out of him for that. Because family does come first in this business. So.
You're absolutely right, and I'm glad that I'm actually glad you called in because I did have, like I said, Scars and Stripes down. And I did have that other show down, and then I did have Wrestle Force down. But because I saw your name on it, and I saw Shannon Moore's name on it, so that's good to know. So, folks, if you were planning on going, we'll put it that way, planning on going to the Extreme Vintage Wrestling show in Florence, South Carolina. If you were holding the ticket for that show has been postponed. There was a phone number down there, but I'm not going to give it out because I don't want this phone number to get inundated. If you are on Facebook, there were several Facebook posts about this show. So all you have to do is put in Extreme Vintage Wrestling, and I'm sure that something will come up on that. And you were right, Eric, on the Scars and Stripes Wrestling show. If you bring in a non-perishable food item, you will receive $2 off on admission. That is at Belmont, North Carolina, at the Belmont National Guard Armory. And the thing I saw on that was pretty interesting was there's a tournament, right, for the SSW Heavyweight Championship. Am I right
in
that?
That's correct.
And the final round, the final round of that is a four-way ladder match.
Oh, yes.
So that should be very cool.
I'm coming to expect me to be in the ladder.
Okay. What's that, Terry?
I got it.
Okay.
After WrestleForce, he's booked at the ECWA Super 8 tournament in Delaware April 5th, which he had stated that had been his lifetime dream as far as working on the indies was that tournament.
Okay.
That's on April 5th, and then his last show is April 12th when Anarchy in Georgia.
Okay. So if you're going to try to see Steven before he heads off to report to NXT down in Florida, these are the shows that he's going to be at, and we'll follow those up probably in the program. You know, the program's coming up over the next couple of weeks, but certainly a tip of the hat. I sent him a message on his Facebook page, wished him the best of luck. For all the grief that I can give and the fans can give the WWE, they have a state-of-the-art facility there, and they will do what they do. They will continue to bring in the talent that they feel will propel them, you know, through the next series of fans and the fans that still hang around. But, you know, state-of-the-art and not only just, you know, equipment, they have their own on-site studio production facility. If you've ever seen any of the videos on it, you know what I'm talking about. So certainly wish him the best of luck in that. I'm going to track down a couple other things. You going to stay and listen, Mr. Sleaze?
Oh, yes.
Now that you've had your 5 minutes?
Oh, I've had my 5 minutes in the sun. Okay, I'm good.
All right, boss. All right, boss. We'll talk to you in a minute.
All right.
Eric is always good for a call a week. Guaranteed. Big fan of the show, big supporter of the show. Love Eric. I'll tell you what. That whole shtick that he did for $5 at All Gimmicks Needed was absolutely freaking hilarious. It was funny, and he took it like a champ. So my hat's off to him. Anybody that can do that is fine in my book. Let's see here. Extreme Outlaw Wrestling. I agree. Extreme Outlaw Wrestling, Saturday, March 29th. Marshall County Fairgrounds in Holly Springs, Mississippi, 7:30 bell time, scheduled to appear. Johnny Morton, Chris Styles, Paris Kelly, and many others. This is one that I wanted to cover, too, and I had never heard of this. This is another one. They just keep popping up out of the woodwork. Must be this time of year. Dark Horse Championship Wrestling, Sunday, March 30th, from Oil City High School in Oil City, Pennsylvania, 3 p.m. bell time. You can see stars like Kimberly, Adam Flash, Chris Taylor, Justin Idol, Sassy Stephanie, Mia Yim, and more. So if you're in the Oil City, Pennsylvania area, which I'm going to presume that the town's named after oil because there's oil there, you can go and check that out. They have a website, darkhorsewrestling.com. So I don't think they're famous for chocolate. That's Hershey.
It might be right beside of it, though.
It could be. It might be mixing the two.
I've never heard of it.
I haven't either. Like I said, I started going through and getting notifications. People were sending us stuff. And, folks, if you'd like to talk to Terry or myself, 213-816-1605. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we'll have Seymour Snott from Gouge Wrestling with us. If you'd like to check us out on Twitter, our Twitter address is @FromTheArmory. And, of course, you know, 30-some-odd minutes into the program, Eric had to ruin it. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. Lord, have my ass over this. Sunday, March 30th, again, from the hangar in Casey, South Carolina, 7 p.m. bell time. On the card, WrestleForce champion Caleb Conley the Bravado Brothers, Cedric Alexander, Zane Riley, Jackson James, many others. So if you're in the Casey, South Carolina area, you want to see some good wrestling, 7 o'clock, go to WrestleForce Unleashed. You can see Caleb freaking Conley. So there you go. Thanks, Eric. Ass. That's what I know. That's what I know. See, and I promised myself that I wasn't going to talk about Caleb Conley this week.
Well, It wasn't your fault.
Well, he's like a ghost. He's like a ghost. Even when I don't talk about him, even when I'm not even thinking about him, it's like something else. It's this hypnotic effect that he's got on everybody. You know, and I've talked to Laura about this. Laura will defend him till the day that she dies with a shovel in her hand. She'll defend Caleb Conley. You know, Caleb Conley is like a ghost. You know, I don't want to talk about him, and suddenly he appears. You know, it's almost like a Christmas carol. And as a matter of fact, it's a Caleb Conley carol. It's like the ghost of Caleb Conley. I don't know. At any rate, enough about him. Have you been watching any of The Machine on TV, Terry? Been watching any WWE?
Brother, I try, but usually by 9:30, quarter to 10, I'm looking at the back of my eyelids.
I watched, you know, and I've broken my promise. I told people that I was not going to watch WWE anymore. Then the opportunity presented itself, and I bought tickets to WrestleMania. And, yes, folks, I'll be in New Orleans. If there are any show listeners that are going to be in New Orleans for WrestleMania, I will be there. If you go to our Twitter account, follow us on Twitter. I'll be putting out tweets during WrestleMania. And we got another surprise for you, but I'll save that for the end of the show. I've watched a little bit on and off. I just don't feel the hype between The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. I'm not feeling it. I have zero respect for Brock Lesnar, and I always take everything that Jim Cornette says with a grain of salt, because Jim Cornette could talk for a week straight and probably not take a breath, and I think that he's done a shoot on everybody that he's ever worked with. He has good things to say about people, and with Brock Lesnar, he had nothing but negative things to say. My biggest problem with guys like Brock Lesnar, and I've had this problem with The Rock, I had this problem with Dave Bautista, I've had problems with several others that have made a fortune in the WWE to go off and do another venture, whether it's MMA or be in movies or act on TV or do sing-alongs on the Disney Channel or whatever you want to call it. And then miraculously, at a certain time period, and this isn't the case with Brock because he's been wrestling on and off for over a year now. He's got a contract for so many dates with WWE. But they come back at that miracle time that is WrestleMania, you know, and we get to see him. It's like The Undertaker. Everybody knows that The Undertaker wrestles one show a year, which is WrestleMania. He's in a program the month before. He'll wrestle maybe 2 weeks after, and then he's gone. You know, that's fine. I mean, the Undertaker, he's getting up there in years. As a matter of fact, his birthday was this past Monday. And if I remember right, I think he's like 48 or 49. So he's
no way.
Chick. Yes.
He's got to be older than that.
No. He's only like 48 or 49. He's only a few years older than me. But, of course, you know, he wrestled in an era with, you know, the WWE, 20-some-odd years, you know, and this is no secret, Terry, you know the kind of schedule that they keep, you know, where you're on the road for 320-some days a year, you know, sometimes wrestling, you know, double shows, double tapings, you know. So, you know, a lot of miles. But I just don't feel it between him and Brock Lesnar. You know, I could care less. You know, and then we have, you know, Triple H has inserted himself into the into this match, you know, and three-way match to, you know, or however it's going to work out. Daniel Bryan has to – he faces Daniel Bryan. The winner of that gets in and put into a three-way match for the title. You know, there are some interesting things that are going on, and I'm not going to berate the WWE. I mean, they do what they do. My whole problem with the WWE has always been and continues to be that for the amount of programming that you get, you can compress 3 hours of what they do and have a half hour worth of quality television. And that's about it. The rest of it's filler and fodder.
You know? Very true.
I haven't watched TNA and I can't tell you how long. That, you know, that's just the way that it is.
I can second that, too.
I right after Hogan left, which I'm not a Hulk Hogan mark, but after Hogan left, the writing was on the wall. You know, there were stories that just didn't make any sense. You know, beginnings with no endings, endings with no beginnings. You know, and I just recently read that Lady Tappa had parted ways with TNA. You know, and at first it was made that it was a mutual parting. And then there were some other reports that came out that basically was said that it wasn't so mutual. TNA pretty much just said, you know, we're done here. You know, which, you know, I got some flack. Someone had put out, you know, well, you know, I don't understand how they could release her. Well, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's like, well, I don't know. You pair somebody as a bodyguard for the best female wrestler on the roster for a year, and you don't give her a chance to shine in her own matches, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what they did. They paired her with Gail Kim, who is the best female wrestler in TNA, you know, in it, and I'll even go this far. She is the best female wrestler between the rosters of TNA and WWE by far. You know, and you pair with her, what did you think was going to happen? Nothing. So you got what you got.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's what I know about WWE and TNA. So,
I haven't watched the TNA show since back before our last, not this past one, but the one before that, pay-per-view that we did for $5. I bet it's been that long since I've even seen it.
I've had a chance, I've had the opportunity, I've had the privilege of talking with a lot of wrestlers. And my a conversation always goes back to an interview that I did on another program, or helped with an interview on another program with Larry Zbyszko. And Larry gave some great insight into TNA and what happened to TNA. And, you know, I can't remember the exact question, but it got around to, you know, did TNA management ever feel that they would be able to catch up with the WWE? And Larry Zbyszko said it point blank. At one point in time, TNA had everything in place to give WWE a run for its money, and they basically did what they've always done. They shot themselves in the foot. You know, at one point in time, there were enough things in place. But because of mismanagement, signing the wrong stars, booking the wrong matches, crazy-ass storylines that made no sense, TNA imploded on itself. And, you know, everybody, yep. There are wrestlers that I enjoy in TNA. I love Bobby Roode. I think Bobby Roode is the shit. But, you know, and there are some others. But, I mean, here's the thing. If you looked at Lockdown or saw the last pay-per-view that they had in Miami, which was Lockdown, I can tell you what the attendance figures were, folks.
950.
There you go. I can even tell you how many of those were paid tickets versus comp tickets, but I'm not going to do that because we don't run a dirt sheet show here. I'm just telling you that they are not drawing enough fans to make it count. And everybody says, well, if that were the case, why isn't TNA out of business? Well, again, the reason why TNA is not out of business is because Bob Carter, Dixie Carter's father, is a multimillionaire. He's like a Ted Turner, and he has no problem in spending money in TNA as long as it keeps his daughter Dixie happy. The only thing that will cause TNA to completely go away is if they lose their television deal with Spike TV. If they lose their television deal with Spike TV, TNA, as you know it, will be over. When that happens, that's what will cause the end of TNA. Not because of poor attendance numbers, not because of poor ticket sales, poor merchandise sales, anything like that. It will be because they are not brought into homes televised.
So
that's
Bob,
what will cause. Yes, sir.
Bob?
Yes, sir.
What do you think will happen if that happens? Do you think Vince will buy them out or just let them fold?
I think he'll just let them fold. I think that they have enough interest. I think they have enough vested interest in the WWE Network, in NXT. I think that they will do just like what the old territory way does, because Vince still, even though he has several people around him that are moving the company forward, at least in a from a digital standpoint or in a social media standpoint, I still believe that Vince has his father's basic principles at heart when it comes to territory thinking-based wrestling. He will take who he wants, and he will let the others go.
But do you not think
everybody
he would do it just to get the Do you not think he'd do it just to get the video archive?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. Perhaps. But in my heart of hearts, not really, because, I mean, I can think back over. There were, you know, several decent, you know, TNA pay-per-views and, you know, several matches, but you have to go back a number of years. I mean, I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know. That's a good question. What do you think?
I would think the only reason that he would be for the video archive, so they could, you know, he could link back with the Dudleys and Kurt and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have their whole careers.
That's true. It's possible. I mean, he could do it like what he did with ECW. He could buy it, let it try to stand on its own legs but not support it, re-sign the people he wanted to and let everybody else go, and then he just folds the brand in and he owns everything anyway. So,
if he would have put the right person in charge of that could have been more than what it was. It could still be very profitable.
Well, you know, there's a name that comes to my mind. We're going to call Seymour Snott here in just 1 second. There's a name that comes to my mind that already worked for TNA that they pushed out the door. If you wanted TNA turned around, the only person that you would need to bring in would be Paul Heyman.
You got somebody else that ain't doing too bad on his own right now?
Who's that?
Tommy Dreamer.
That's true. House of Hardcore, pretty big. Getting bigger. A lot of good talk about that up there. So, let's make a phone call, Terry.
Excellent.
See if we can get this guy on the line. Make sure I do this right here. I always screw this up.
Hello?
Would this be Mr. Seymour Snott?
This is Mr. Seymour Snott.
Mr. Snott, this is Bunkhouse Bob, live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very good. Good to speak to you.
It's very good to speak to you as well. With me in the studio tonight is none other than Terry Houston. He's filling in as a guest co-host tonight because Laura is away on business. So he is in here with us as well.
All right.
Very
How
good.
Doing, brother?
Very good.
All right. So I am free. I'm here to ask whatever you want to ask. I'm open for whatever.
Very good. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight.
You're very welcome.
I know that the listeners, and I'd like to tell the listeners that I read your Facebook posts. I follow you on Facebook. We're friends on Facebook. And your Facebook posts have to be some of the funniest things that I have ever read. And that's no joke. That's not ass-kissing. That's just you have an incredible sense of humor. And I was watching a couple of your matches on YouTube over the weekend, and
uh-huh.
I see that you have some of that comedy style in the ring as well. When
mm-hmm.
you did you think that you would use a wrestling comedy angle from the get-go when you were involved, when you first got into wrestling?
No, I didn't. I had no clue what I was going to first do when I first started. Kind of weird because, like, the gimmick was just thrust upon me. So when I first started, I was actually in wrestling school, and we were screwing around, and they said, well, put a pair of glasses on, you know, so-and-so, and I put on a pair of glasses on, and I said, that's it. That'd be a great gimmick. You'd be a wrestling nerd. And at first I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to do this. And then as time went on, you start realizing there's easier ways, you know, there's ways that you can work this and kind of be different rather than be just like everybody else that's out there.
Right. So you thought right off the bat when they were going to do, when this was going to go on, that this wasn't going to work?
Well, the thing was that there was actually another guy that started with me, and his name was Scott Snot, and they changed his name to George C. Snot, and then they decided, so you're going to be Seymour Snot. We were supposed to be a heel tag team, but what happened was, like, the fans thought it was kind of funny because it was like, oh, look at these two, you know, these nerds, you know, they're in there fighting all these big guys and stuff, you know, so we started getting more over as baby faces, and this is like going back to like 1999 and stuff. So, like, you know, that's how long I've been wrestling for. And so, like, when that started happening, you know, there was George C. Snot. Well, he got hurt, so we brought in another guy, and he was this big, fat kid, and we called him Big Peter Snot. So, it just continued to grow. It was kind of like the less hip version of, like, the Dudley Boys, if, you know, and so we just started playing around with that, and eventually it just caught on, and I ended up coming here to North Carolina, and the promoter that I started working for, he loved the gimmick, and he says, you know, you got a gimmick, and, you know, most guys don't. He says, this is fun to watch. So I started adding, you know, like, the silly string, and you know, I watched stuff from, like, the Three Stooges and the 60s Batman show, and I said, well, I could put that in a wrestling match. I mean, that's entertaining to watch. So that was pretty much how I came to be. So
I know that you had mentioned that you had started out in 2009. What was your introduction to wrestling? How did you even get involved? Was this, you know, a childhood dream for you, or was this something that just kind of landed in your lap and said, well, I'll give this a try?
Well, actually, I've been a wrestling fan probably since I was about 10 or 11. And me and one of my friends that I grew up with in the neighborhood, I mean, we, you know, we had the WWF wrestling dolls, and we had, like, you know, we used to have, like, the Action Figure Wrestling League, and we had backyard wrestling and stuff. And we were always trying to do, like, the stuff we saw on television and, you know, and so it was just one of those things. And then when I got into high school, I wrestled a little bit. And so finally what happened was when I got out, I ended up going into the Air Force, and I was doing that for a couple years. And this was probably about 1995. And I looked in the back of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and there was this ad for about a book that, you know, it was like, do you want a career in professional wrestling? And I'm like, well, this would be cool. So I sent away, and it was a book written by Paul Bearer or Percy Pringle III and Dennis Brandt, and it was kind of like how you could get introduced to the world of wrestling, which back then, you know, it was still very closed, you know, everything wasn't
right
all over the internet. So I sent away for this book, and I must have sent out 10 or 12 letters to these wrestling schools at the time, and of course, you know, it was still very closed, you know, it wasn't very open as it, you know, a lot of things are today. So I just sent away for stuff, and eventually I got a letter in the mail from it was a school up in Northern California, and I mean, I was probably about 140 pounds at the time, and I was real small, and they were telling me, they said, well, you know, it's like size isn't really so much of an issue because, you know, we train the guys much like we do in, you know, they do in Japan and Mexico and stuff, and they had this wrestler there, and his name was Matt Heisen, and they were very, very high on him and stuff, so I was like, well, you know, I've got to go over to England for a couple of years for the military. And what ended up happening was Matt Heisen ends up going to the East Coast and becomes Spike Dudley for ECW. So I was like, okay, this might be the wrestling school to go to. They train the smaller guys, and eventually they got Crash Holly into WWF. So I was like, all right, I'm going here. So that was in the summer of 1998. And so I ended up leaving. I got out of the Air Force. I ended up going back home to Pennsylvania, drove across the country to California, and I started training at the school in California.
What school did you go to, Mike?
That was the APW boot camp. That was the one that's featured at the beginning of Beyond the Mat.
I'm familiar with that. And matter of fact, Terry had a question for you on that. I know that he had mentioned it to me. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, I was just a big Modest Mark when I was coming in, and I came in 98 too in October, and mm-hmm. You know, that's when he was, you know, running all over the Indies, and you know, he was all everything back then. So what was your time like working with him back then?
He was an excellent trainer. I mean, he was he lived in the gym. I lived in the gym. The late Bison Smith lived in the gym. I mean, we all lived in this warehouse and in this industrial complex down in Hayward, California. And it was like, it was so like, so much like this, kind of like a monk-like existence. You know, you go to work, you come back to the school, you train all day or train all night. And then it's like, you know, you get up in the morning, you repeat the process. And Mike was an excellent trainer, and you know, he got me to, you know, he was really good at helping, you know, getting you motivated and just pushing you to actually want to work and, you know, succeed. Because, I mean, the classes that we had back then, I mean, there was probably about 35, 40 guys going through a wrestling time. And week by week, guys were dropping off. But Mike was very, you know, he was the one who actually got me to, you know, he helped me, like, start throwing my forearms the way I do. So I don't like punch too much in my matches, but I do a lot of forearms. So, but Mike was just, and once you get in the ring with Mike, I mean, he's like one of those guys, like, I mean, he'll suplex the hell out of you. So it's one way to look at it. But he was an excellent trainer. You know, I wouldn't have traded it. You know, he was great to be around, and I was very proud to be trained by him.
One of the things that Terry and I had talked about beforehand was Roland Alexander, and I'm going to use a broad brush of the broad stroke of the brush here. How do you feel that Roland was portrayed in Beyond the Mat? What was your take on it?
You know, the thing was like. You know, the thing was, it was so funny because, I mean, I spent so much time with Roland, and it was like, you know, like, there's good parts, there's bad parts, and you kind of want to dwell on the fact that there was a lot of, you know, there was times, like, when you go out with him, I mean, he'd crack you up because he had the whole mentality of, like, the old school wrestling promoter. You know, I mean, we'd go out to eat places and, you know, like he would dress down like the waitresses and stuff. And you're like, oh, Jesus, you know, someone's going to get their food spit in because, you know, that's kind of what he did. But, you know, the best way to describe him is he was just a real colorful character to be around. And I think for a lot of guys that never, like, it's a good experience to be around someone like that because it kind of gives you that experience in wrestling. Like, okay, not everybody that you're going to be dealing with, like sometimes, and I feel this is true, I think sometimes promoters have to go out there and be, you know, they have to be pricks or they have to be assholes because the boys are just going to walk all over them, you know? So that's pretty much my take on it. So.
All right. Now you can say, go ahead, Terry.
That's, that's a lot of it, too, on the indie circuit. That's when the inmates run the asylum, and you know, once that happens, promoter don't stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was getting ready to say. I even think that in the movie that there's even talk about that. It flashes back and forth between Roland and Vince McMahon, and Vince mm-hmm. McMahon saying something like that from a promoter standpoint, that certain wrestlers, their egos can get as such that, you know, so on and so forth, and he starts to, you know, look at the monster I created, blah, blah, blah. And I think the thing, I remember going to the movie theater with my buddy Jeff, and we watched that, and my whole thing was that I didn't know whether to, with Roland, in the way that he was portrayed in the movie, I didn't know whether to smile along with him and feel like he was really had everybody's best interest at heart, or if at times seemed like there could be something shady going on. You know, that's the way, at least it was to me, in my opinion, portrayed in the movie. And then, of course, mm-hmm. later on, you know, we found out, you know, more about the entire movie itself, mm-hmm. you know, and showing Mike going and getting his tryout and so on and so forth. When was the last time that you spoke to Mike Modest?
It was probably about, I want to say, maybe 9 years ago. I think he's in Vegas now, so I might see him this summer when I go to Cauliflower Alley. So
okay.
Hopefully I get to see him. Because, I mean, he, you know, he was a fun guy to be around, you know, and he did, like, I mean, he was just, you know, when I was around him, and I told someone about this, it's like, when I was kind of coming up as a rookie and stuff, like, you know, he was in matches, you know, the main event matches where he was working guys like Donovan Morgan or Christopher Daniels or whatever. And so you're a young guy, you're on the bottom rung, but you're seeing that as the main event, and you're like, wow, I really want to aspire to be that good, because, you know, you see someone out there and he's working and stuff like that, you're like, okay, you know, that's what I have to work my go rise up to that kind of level. So he was just an excellent trainer.
Very cool. You had mentioned something, and there always seems to be, at least from my angle, there always seems to be a couple of questions that always come back around, because, you know, everybody seems to talk about them. You had mentioned, you know, back when the business seemed more closed versus more open as it is today with the internet, and God knows I'm guilty of it, you know, the IWC, the internet wrestling community, and the thumb thugs and the keyboard warriors and so on and so forth. Do you feel that the internet has hurt or helped wrestling one way or the other, more or less?
You know, the thing is, it's good exposure, you know, it's fantastic exposure, but then it's also like, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, you have some guys that are trying to put themselves over on stuff, and it's like, well, does that really sell tickets, you know? And really the thing is like, I look at it like, okay, here's the shows that I'm going to be at, you know, come on out for whatever. And, you know, some guys want to push these, like, internet feuds, and it's like, come on, you know, how can you push a feud with some guy that you're friends with on Facebook, you know?
Right.
You know, like, I mean, come on. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, I really hate that guy's guts. I'm going to tear him a new one this weekend. And it's like, well, if you go on your pictures, you guys are shaking hands right there. So where's the, you know.
So I don't know. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. It's good promotion. It's great for the fans we get involved with. But then there's times where it's like, okay, this is kind of getting a little bit ridiculous. So, I mean, I just kind of like, you kind of have to draw a line somewhere in there, you know, I guess.
Now, coming up from where you came from with APW and Mike and Roland and all that, do you feel in the matches that you've worked, you know, on the indie scene, do you think that there is a that ring psychology is kind of a lost thing? I know I've talked with Terry about this, and Big Donnie and a bunch of other guys, that ring psychology has kind of gotten lost in the mix versus having a match where it's a 100% spot fest, or, you know, it's some over-the-top gimmick-type match that ring psychology has taken a back seat in indie wrestling?
Yeah, that's, like, one thing, too. Like, I noticed, like, I've seen it before. It's, like, a lot of guys, you know, like, if, you know, like, I was telling one guy about being a heel, and it's, like, you know, if you're going to be a heel, you know, cheat for Christ's sakes, you know? I mean, you're not, like, the saint, you know what I'm saying, you know? And with baby faces, you know, like, I was basically told one thing when I started wrestling, and I was, like, I was told the one thing. It was like, baby faces sell, heels bump, you know? And it's like, you know, you watch some of these guys and it's like, baby face that doesn't sell. I mean, that was Ricky Morton's whole career, you know?
Right.
So like, you know, if you don't, I think it's just, there's too many guys that are like, they're caught up in the current product, and there's really nothing really wrong with being watching it or anything like that. But it's like, you know, I mean, and I'm kind of glad, you know, WWE's like, they're showing the old stuff on their network and that. So maybe the good part of the whole thing is you're going to create a whole new generation of wrestling fans that are going to appreciate the older stuff as they start watching it. And, you know, maybe the WWE will start incorporating some of that stuff. So it's just one of those things where, you know, the next generation of wrestlers or whatever, you know, maybe you'll see some of that old school stuff coming back, hopefully. So, but
I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Well, you know, I don't pay for the tickets, so, you know, but
that's probably a good thing, brother.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of. Do you think it's possible, Seymour, to pull back from that blurred line of the anti-hero? I mean, we go back. You know, at least I go back. I remember, you know, the Steve Austin. You know, the whole. You know, first he was booked to be a heel, and miraculously everybody got behind of it and turned him into a babyface, no matter what he did. You know,
right.
And then they just kind of rode with it, you know, and it just went, you know, through the roof. You think it's possible? I mean, it's like, you know, I watched this past week. I'm just going to use this as an example. You know, of course, you always get the boo-hoos and you get split crowd for John Cena,
mm-hmm.
who is, you know, he is the franchise of the WWE versus, you know, a member of the Wyatt family. And, you know, they're just cheering lights out for the Wyatt family, who are billed as these spooky guys, you know, cult-like thing, and against John Cena. Do you think that those blurred lines will ever become clear for people again?
You know, it's kind of a hard thing, and really I think a lot of it, depends on really on society. And, you know, as society right now, I mean, you look at, like, it's kind of like back when Austin was getting over huge in the Attitude Era. You know, generally, I mean, everybody in America and stuff, you know, we all hated our bosses, and we all wanted to see really the, you know, kind of the underdog badass win, you know. And today it's kind of hard, because it's like, you know, really, like, Daniel Bryan is kind of like he's kind of typical of what, you know, he's kind of almost like that nerd, you know. He's not the biggest guy, he's got a beard, you know, and crowd just loves the hell out of him. And you know, I think it's one of those things, like, they're kind of teasing everybody of when they're going to finally pull the trigger on this guy, you know. So as far as, like, what the crowd, you know, what we want, I mean, what the crowd wants and everything, it's just, I don't know, I mean, it really is going to depend on what society wants in general. You know, what's going to be the next big thing that's, like, over in mainstream media, you know what I'm saying? And Vince will find whatever it is, and he'll capitalize on it. So, you know, who knows? I mean, right now, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I think Daniel Bryan is kind of almost like this hipster nerd, I guess. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously the mold, the anti-mold. He is everything that mm-hmm. most people, you know, at least from my perspective, that Vince has promoted the last 40-some-odd years that he's been in business, you know, where you had the, you know, the muscle-bound guy, 6'4", 6'5", you know, arms bigger around than my midsection. And then you've got Daniel Bryan, you know, the guy's got long hair, scruffy beard, you know, he's 5-foot-something, you know, 100-and-something. You know, the, it goes exact opposite of what of his whole booking philosophy, his whole franchise philosophy. But the difference maker is that I think, and, this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the fans know his ability from where he came from. He's, you know, he's he's fan familiar, and people love him in that underdog role.
Yeah, that's you know, you brought up a good point about like what the fans know, and I think like I think that's something that's kind of missing today because, you know, if you go back to when the WWE really succeeded and really went over, like in the late 80s, you had so many guys that probably had more than 10 years experience, territory guys. You know, you had Junkyard Dog, Rick Rude, Ted DiBiase, you know, Hulk Hogan, that Randy Savage, all those guys were from these smaller, you know, they worked all over these territories and they were known to the fans and stuff. And today, really, you don't really have that unless guys work for like Ring of Honor or Chikara or anything. And when the WWE takes their guys from like straight up developmental, and you know, like this was one thing with John Cena was like, you know, he pretty much worked a couple indies and then, you know, he was in Ohio Valley for a few years and then they brought him out on television. So I don't think the fans really ever got comfortable with him. So, but, you know, like he moves merchandise and, you know, I mean, he's pretty much Vince's big star as far as a name goes, you know. And, you know, I can't really diss him too hard because, you know, I've wrestled him before and he's a hell of a nice guy. So that's all I can really say. I mean, I knew him in California, so, but, you know, he wants to go out there and perform and do whatever. And, you know, you kind of have to almost hand it to the guy for being the workhorse that he is. So even though like I don't think the fans 1,000% appreciate it, but he does get a reaction from them. So that's one thing I'm sure Vince looks at. He's like, oh, look at the crowd. You know, they're just going crazy, booing Cena. Oh, you know, and I'm sure he may not like that he's getting booed, but the crowd's into him. So,
well, then, and we've talked about that before. You know, a lot of, you know, wrestling is supposed to invoke some type of emotion, whether it's good or bad. And I always sit and look on my social media feed on Monday night, the amount of spew that comes out, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. I can't believe this, you know, what kind of crap is this, you know, and but yet we tune in every week, you know. It's
right
the old serial soap opera, you know. We can we can bitch up a storm, but nobody's changing the channel, you know. And then the thing that you had mentioned about John Cena, and I've said this on this program and I'll say it again, for everything that John Cena isn't, John Cena is. There will never be another John Cena in the WWE. A lot of people felt there would never be a Hulk Hogan. And I'm here to tell you that John Cena has surpassed Hulk Hogan. Not just in merchandise sales, but for what he's done, not only inside the WWE, but outside the WWE. There will never be another John Cena. But go ahead.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, you know, 1,000% company man, and I think, like, that's the thing, like, Vince looks for. And, you know, like, and I explained it to someone one time, and I said, you know, there'll be the John Cena era, and then in a few years, he will slowly go away, and there will be a new era from someone else, you know, and it just, that's just how it works, you know. I mean, there was the Bruno era, there was the Backlund era, there was the Hogan era, there was, you know, the 90s with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, and then there was Steve Austin and Rock. So it just, it's going to be whoever Vince and Triple H and Stephanie deem that's going to be the person to carry the company next. So
is there anybody out there that you see Mike, that is that has potential for that? Or is there anybody at all that comes to mind that you can think of?
You know, from the amount of wrestling that I've watched, I mean, I can't really pinpoint it on anybody because it's so hard. And, you know, like, I'm sure there were fans and everyone going back into the early 80s, you know, wondering what was going to happen after Bob Backlund. Because if you remember going back, you know, there was that whole era in the early 80s where Backlund started getting boos, you know, and people were, like, waiting for him to lose the title, and they were starting to get behind guys like Jimmy Snuka and, you know, Sergeant Slaughter and stuff, and then Hulk Hogan walks out of the AWA, walks right into the WWE, and he's the champ. So it's just, it's really one of those hard things to pinpoint on, you know, but it's got to be someone that's, you know, but I think it's going to be someone we don't expect, and he's going to get over huge with the crowd, and hopefully they'll see it, and they'll, you know, knight him the, you know, the leader of whatever the next big marketing campaign is going to be.
If you had told me in WCW era that Steve Austin and Brian Pillman, when they were the Hollywood Blondes, that just a few short years later, that Steve Austin would be in the WWF at that point in time and have the best-selling shirt to surpass the Hulkamania shirt with the Austin 316 shirt, I'd have laughed in your face.
Oh, I agree. I mean,
you know what I mean?
I would have thought Steve Austin never would have got further than like the Intercontinental title.
Right, right. I agree absolutely. So you're right. It takes a special magic mix, and I've said it before. I don't know that there is not one person that comes to mind that I can think of that you can just hand pick like that. You know, that I can just pull out of air. You know, that is ready for not only that type of responsibility, but that type of pressure, because there has to be an enormous amount of pressure on a guy like John Cena, you know, or something like that. But tell us a little bit. I know that you're wrestling currently for Gouge Wrestling. What other promotions mm-hmm. are you wrestling for?
I'm doing a couple promotions. There's one called Coastal Plains. I've done a couple shows for Big Time Wrestling out in Mocksville, North Carolina. I haven't traveled too much lately, mostly just because I have a regular day job. So like mm-hmm. a lot of times, and plus it's like, you know, when you travel, it's like you kind of want to travel with someone, you know, you don't want to be on that road alone. And I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, so it's like you start feeling it a little bit more. So I'm pretty comfortable, you know, trying to settle, you know, get Gouge into something around here in Raleigh in the area here. So I don't have any complaints about it or anything like that. So, but you know, some of the stuff, like I've gone up to like Virginia and Tennessee, you know, over the past few years. So it just really depends on getting out there a little bit. I don't know. I'd like to go up north a little bit more, but as we all know, you know, winter hasn't ended yet. So
that's very true. That's very true. And I know that Laura had wanted me to ask you, and she apologizes that she could not be on the program tonight. She had a commitment with work that could not allow her to be here tonight. But she wanted me to ask you, and I hope I'm wording this right, because she had said, do you think that wrestling is on the same popularity level as the comic book world is? Or do you think, you know, can it be as popular as the comic book world? I'm not quite sure where she was going with the question, because I know that she shares a love of comics along with you. Do you feel it's on that same type of level? I don't know, as far as fanaticism is concerned. I think maybe is where she was going with it.
You know, the thing is, and some of the stuff I want to say, it's like one of the promotions I'd love to work for is Chikara, because I think that kind of has a little bit more comic book entertainment than like WWE has. Mm-hmm.
you know, it is what it is. And I think sometimes you have to be different than everybody else. You know, you can't have, you know, I think if you have too many of the same promotions running, it's like you get stale, you know, it gets stale or whatever. But I think wrestling, especially the way that WWE has marketed itself over the last couple of years, and I'm not going to, you know, wrestling to me has always been a comic book. I mean, it's guys wearing tights beating the hell out of each other. It's like a comic book. But to achieve the popularity and stuff, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I mean, but the thing is like, do people really, I mean, they draw big crowds, they sell merchandise. I think, you know, comic books sell merchandise just as well. And it's got a weekly television program. So I'd say maybe wrestling's just a little bit behind, but that's just because I think that comic books are a little bit more, accessible to all ages. You know, people still, I think there's still parents out there and people that still say, oh, wrestling, you know, it's so barbaric and everything. And really, if you watch, you know, you do watch it now, you know, it's not as you know, Monday Night Raw isn't as violent as like ECW was like in the mid 90s, you know?
Right.
So I'd have to say it's probably about even. You know, there's fan fest for comic book, there's fan fest for wrestling. I think you can pretty much combine the two a lot of the times because, you know, really, I was a huge Japanese wrestling fan when I was, like, especially in the early 90s. And, you know, like, when I was watching guys like Liger and stuff, like, Jushin Liger out there, I was like, holy crap. I go, you know, he's wearing, like, almost like a comic book, like a superhero outfit. He's out there and he's doing all this cool
right.
stuff. And it was like, that was, like, one of my biggest, like, I was like, wow, you know, this is, like, this is great because it combines, you know, comic books, cartoons, and pro wrestling into one package. So I have to say, you know, comic books are a little bit higher, but, you know, wrestling's not far behind. So it's definitely on the same playing field. I mean, you walk into a Walmart, you're going to still see, you know, you see the Superman or the Spider-Man and the Marvel superheroes right next to the WWE stuff. So it's pretty
right.
much an even playing ground now. So,
do you think it kind of crossed over? Not so much with the cartoons that some of the promotions have put out over the years, but do you think that it helped cross over with the action figures and the amount of I don't know collectability that some of them garnered over the years? I mean, I know myself. I remember when Jax came out with the first lines and. They were only advertised on, like, WWE programming, and I hate to say this. I have a collection that's in another location, and I still know that I have, like, the King of the Iron Rung set. That's from, like, 1997. Do you think that it started to get that kind of crossover appeal?
I think it did, and I think what happened was I think when the Attitude Era came, with, like, Austin and The Rock, I think that pretty much, you know, that was pretty much, like, the big explosion right there because, you know, like, you didn't really see. I mean, you saw it once in a while, you know. I mean, wrestling was pretty big, but then all of a sudden when the Attitude Era came, I mean, you had WCW and you had ECW and had, you know, and really that was really when I think indie wrestling was really at its peak because you had these three promotions. But then once in a while, you might see a guy from ECW on an indie show on the weekend, you know. So I think wrestling was a lot bigger in the late 90s than it, you know, especially, I mean, but today, you know, WWE just runs it ran everybody out. So it pretty much is the place to go. But I think the Attitude Era definitely blew things up for everybody.
What do you think of the state of indie wrestling right now? I mean, I'm pretty ecstatic with the way that things are as far as the number of promotions, the number of quality promotions that are available to fans. Ticket pricing seems to be kept in check and, you know, reasonably affordable for someone to go out and catch a good indie show. What are your thoughts on the state of independent wrestling right now?
You know, I don't think it's really too bad or anything. I think it's that it just needs more exposure. you know, some guys, I mean, like, everyone kind of has their different views of it. And there's really, like, you know, like, you know, there's, like, some people that's, you know, it's like, you can have shows and you don't have to be the same show that everybody else runs. You know, you can have a show with gimmicks. You can have a show that's wrestling, you know. I was always brought up, and when I first got into wrestling, I was always told your ideal wrestling card was almost to look like the circus. You know, you have a comedy match, you have a hardcore match, you have a wrestling match, you know, and you make everything different so the fans don't see the same thing for the whole night, you know.
Right.
I think that overall, I don't think it's as bad as a lot of people say it is, but, you know, you do get some shows where guys, you know, there are guys that aren't trained or they're, you know, they're just, you know, it's like, okay, you know, really? You know, but that's just the way I was brought up, you know, and
right.
I think some of the stuff out there, some of the stuff I've seen, I'm like, wow, you know, like there's some good stuff out there, there's some bad stuff out there, so you kind of have to take it all with a grain of salt, but really the best thing to do is just, I think that really, you know, fans just got to go out there and support it, you know, because, you know, some of these guys out there, I mean, some guys don't, you know, they don't want to promote or they say, well, I don't want to do anything. And it's like, well, that's, you know, that's five or six people that may not see a poster or something that you could be drawing to a crowd, you know. So,
right.
Then they complain about the attendance.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
What events do you have coming up, Seymour, so that we can let the fans know?
On April 3rd at the Maywood in Raleigh, we have Eat the Turnbuckle, which is going to be, there's going to be a heavy metal show going on, and they'll be wrestling with that too, and that's going to be on a Thursday night, so it should start at about 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And then on April 11th in Creedmoor, we're going to have Something Funky in Granville County, so that'll be a gouge show at the Creedmoor High School. And that'll be at 7 o'clock, too. And then the next day, on April 12th, we'll have that Wrestling Rabbit, and that'll be in Fuquay Arena at the Gouge Lucha Dome in the flea market in Fuquay. And that'll start about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Very, very cool. Seymour, I certainly appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight. I had a great time talking to you.
Oh, thank you. It was great to be on here. Could I close with a quick story?
Yeah, absolutely. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, this was like in March of 2000, and what happened at the time was this was like basically how far behind WCW was. As we all know, like in the late 90s, WWE was getting all the indie wrestlers like Edge and Prince Albert and all those guys, and so WCW decides to start looking for indie guys, so they sent Jim Barnett, the legendary promoter, out on a tour so that he could find indie guys to bring into WCW, and this is like a year before they went under. So
right.
We had a show in San Lorenzo, California, and Jim Barnett comes to the show, and he was there with Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer. So, match was the Snot Brothers against the Ballard Brothers, and so we're wrestling, and apparently, and this is a story that I was told, and Meltzer has repeated it numerous times, was that when we came out to wrestle, my partner at the time was George C. Snot, and of course Jim Barnett made a comment because he goes, George C. Snot, well, I can't hire him because he would offend George C. Snot, you know, and it was, of course, going to the Turner stuff. So then he finds out my name, which, of course, you know, he says, well, who's that? And he says, his partner. And he says, well, that's Seymour Snot. And Jim Barnett goes, oh, Seymour Snot. He goes, that's the most disgusting name I've ever heard. And I was like, thank you very much. Jim Barnett thought I had the most disgusting name in professional wrestling. So that was that's my little claim to fame. And it's so offensive that Les Thatcher will not say my name. So he refuses to say my name. He wanted me booked. He wanted me on the Fan Fest show down in Charlotte for Greg Price just so that I could work and he could kayfabe my name the whole match.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule and being with us tonight. We'll get your links up on the website tonight. I know that you're on Twitter, and it's at Seymour Snot, and I also know that you're on Facebook.
Right.
We'll put that information out for the fans if they'd like to connect with you. And
sure.
I really appreciate you taking the time. You had some great stuff, some great insight into the world of wrestling, and I always appreciate that. It's always refreshing to have somebody come on and be in an engaging conversation. So I appreciate that.
Well, I had a great time. It was great to talk to you guys. It's great to talk to you, Bob, Terry, same thing.
Appreciate it, Bob.
Now, if you could do me one last favor, Seymour, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Okay.
You do us record a little bump for us to say, this is Seymour Snot. You're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show, and you can go whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Seymour Snot, the geek with the physique, and you're listening to Live from the Armory on Wrestling Radio.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your time.
You're very welcome.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
And there he goes, folks. That's pretty cool, Terry.
Yeah, he's my dude.
Yeah, you know, I did not realize, and I know Laura's just going to be kicking herself in the butt with her right foot. You know, she's going to be walking along and sweeping her leg up, kicking herself in the rear end. I did not realize that he had worked with John Cena. That's very cool.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he started out there. That's where he got seen.
Yeah, and I remember, and we had talked about this before on the program. You know, John gets on, you know, Monday nights and says, you know, I've been busting my ass here for 12 years, and people don't realize, or you know, they've forgotten. In Ohio Valley Wrestling, he wrestled underneath the name The Prototype, and you know, had a really short cropped haircut. I believe it was blonde. Wore like some atrocious purple shorts. You know, something like that.
Looked like a
lime green.
Team.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't think people realized, you know, that he toiled away in Ohio Valley Wrestling for a while. You know, and he came up just like everybody. You know, or like most others. You know, he did work. You know, did go to wrestling school. Did work the independents. You know, and even though Ohio Valley was considered, you know, the farm league of the WWE at that, you know, at that point in time, you know, he still was, you know, wrestling that small circuit, you know, in the Kentucky area. Who would have known, you know, that 14, 15 years later, you know, John Cena would still be around and be considered the, you know, the franchise of the WWE, you know, but he is. So I really liked, you know, what he had to say, you know, about Mike. You know, you and I talked about it before, you know, and thinking back over that now, I remember the segments that they showed with Mike when he was training guys, you know, about, you know, going in, you know, for, you know, certain moves, about body placement and, you know, having their head up, looking up instead of looking down, and, you know, just different things like that. And, you know, what was impressed with that, you know, and obviously, you know, his dedication to things. So, very cool.
Even, you know, that's a lost art these days, too. And Crystal can verify, we were watching an old NWA thing the other day with Johnny Weaver on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he come in the ring and put this kid in a headlock, and the guy was looking straight down at his toes. Johnny
right.
Let go of the headlock, grabbed his chin, pulled his chin up, and then put the headlock right back on him.
Right.
I was
to
like,
have him look,
that.
To have him look up so that the crowd, so he could give some type of facial expression, you know,
that's
to do something, you know, to do something to show the fans, like, this guy's got me in a vice and my head's getting ready to pop off my shoulders. I liked what he said about bad guys bumping and baby faces selling, you know, and he mentioned Ricky Morton, and you've known Ricky for a long time. And, you know, and this goes back to tag team wrestling 101, you know, Ricky Morton taking the better part of the beating for 12 or 15 minutes, you know, and getting the hot tag into Gibson. I mean, that's classic Rock and Roll Express, like I said, tag team wrestling 101. And he's right.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Ricky Morton made a career out of selling.
That he did. And did it night after night.
You're right. And I know that he's there are some events that are coming up, and I know that Ricky's going to be at one of them. I know of for sure is going to be April the 4th in Chalmette, Louisiana, for the Mid-South Legends Fan Fest at the Seeger Center. I know that Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Jim Cornette, several others from the Mid-South era will be there. You know, and that right there is a treat in itself. But the thing that I wanted to say that again, sir?
Have you ever met Parky?
I have not. I have not. That there are a couple of people that I have yet to meet. He is one of them. The other one, and I've probably see this is the problem that I'm always in, Terry, is that there's never enough time, and there's never enough money, and there's never enough gasoline, because Bobby Eaton.
I had the same issues.
Yeah, Bobby Eaton is going to be at the Mid-South Legends Fan Fest in Louisiana that April the 4th in Chalmette. And the tag team and the two guys in wrestling that I haven't met, there's several, but that I haven't met that I would just die to meet just to tell them thanks is Beautiful Bobby Eaton and Sweet Stan Lane. My favorite tag team of all time is the Midnight Express. That incarnation of the Midnight Express. They are the ones with several other people, but helped capture that magic. You know, that kid sitting in front of the box on a Saturday night, watching Georgia Championship Wrestling. Rarely do I mark out, but that would be a mark out moment. I would probably just stand there and go something like, hand, you know, that kind of thing. That's what would do it for me.
I had my moment that I talked about it the other time I was on with, I run a show with them guys up in Bristol, Tennessee, and Ricky was there, and Bobby was there, and Dr. Tom Pritchard were there, and just to sit around and hear them three guys talk, you know, just the stories, and, you know, and when I was 5-6 years old watching them on TV kill each other,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I'm sitting in the back going, you know, there's something about this picture that is not right. You know, you're supposed to hate him, and you're supposed to hate him, you know, but nights like that, I could care less about wrestling. I would just soon sit in the back and hear them guys talk and laugh, and, you know, that to me is worth more than anything else I've ever did in the business.
Right. You know, the other guy that I would love to meet and I've never had the opportunity to meet is Terry Funk. And I've said it before on the program.
I have yet to meet him, too, and I really want to.
I mean, Terry Funk to me, when watching Terry Funk legitimately scared me. Terry Funk made me believe that he would hurt you and that he would hurt you bad. You know? So that's a guy that I really would like to meet. Folks, I said earlier in the program that I had an announcement for you, and I've got a couple of announcements for you. We've got a few minutes left here, and I think that for some reason, I think that Terry's call mysteriously dropped off. Here he comes back. Sometimes that happens. You back with me, partner?
I'm here, buddy.
Okay. So
you're gonna get rid of me, Eddie.
I know. Terry Funk, back to what I was saying, Terry Funk made me he had me believe legitimately that he would hurt you and he would hurt you bad. You know, that's the magic. I believe it. I wouldn't want to mess with him. And he's like 103 years old. You know, I mean, and I say that in a joking manner because he jokes about his own age. I don't even think Terry Funk knows how old he really is.
I think he's about 10 days older more than the time that he tried to retire.
And that's been about 50, so I agree with you. But, folks, the announcement that I wanted to make, next week, we'll start off with that. Next week, our guest will be pro wrestling manager extraordinaire, the Tommy Thomas, will be on the program with Laura. Folks, I will not be here next week. I actually have to travel myself for work, and then I will be on the road to New Orleans. I will be at WrestleCon on Saturday night. We're going down, my son and I are traveling down to New Orleans. We're going to go to WrestleCon. Going to go down there and see former show guest Luke Hawks will be there. Cassidy Riley will be there. Kevin Steen will be there. Masato Tanaka will be there. Several people that I want to see. It's been a spur of the moment type thing, but like I told Terry before we came on air, it's just an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. So if you're going to be at WrestleCon, if you're going to be in New Orleans that Saturday night, you can inbox me or send me a message on Facebook, or you can get a hold of me on our Twitter account at From the Armory and let me know, and we'll say hey, we'll do something like that. And then on that Sunday night, I will be at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I will be there for WrestleMania. Pretty excited about it. I've been to one other WrestleMania event, had the time of my life. It's one of those types of things that, I told Terry this, I thought that I would only be able to ever get to one WrestleMania in my lifetime. I never thought I would be able to get to two, but New Orleans only being about 4 hours from where I live, I couldn't pass up the opportunity, nor would I. The only regret that I have is that CM Punk allegedly will not be at WrestleMania. I hope that he shows up. That would be absolutely tremendous, but if he doesn't, we're still going to enjoy the show all the same. So if you're going to be in New Orleans, hit me up on Twitter or hit me up on Facebook. I will be at WrestleCon. I will be at WrestleMania. We'll stop by, say hello, shake hands, whatever. I already have some folks that I'm meeting before WrestleMania that are involved with the WWE, but certainly would like to say hello to any fans of the show. So if you're going to be in the area, give me a shout out, and we'll see about saying hello. Next week,
rumor has it they may be a Burke County boy sighting there too.
That's what I've heard. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because, well, one way or the other, the Burke County boys will be represented in New Orleans on that weekend. Me being an honorary member of the Burke County boys, I will be there. So if I happen to see any of our fellow brethren there, it would make it all that much sweeter.
Let's see what we can do about that.
All right, boss. I appreciate that. Again, I won't be here next week. Laura will be headlining the show on her own. But I've been told that she's not going to be by herself. I have been told that she is going to have a very special guest with her doing the show. I'm not going to give anything away. But I told her it was up to her that we weren't going to run contests back-to-back, this, that, and the other. My only hope, is that it's not that damn Caleb Conley. Because that sound that you hear is the ratings just falling right to the floor. Because we're about ratings here, folks. I mean, we've got numbers. We've got commitments and obligations that we have to live up to on this show. And my greatest fear, Terry, is that if Caleb Conley gets on this show, our listenership, our download rate will drop right to the floor. Hell, we might even get canceled off the air.
It's out of your hands,
Bob. I do. Huh?
It's out
of my
hands.
The hell it is. I'm telling you right now, Laura, because I know you told me you were going to listen to this episode Thursday when you got some free time from this fake trip vacation that you're on. If you bring Caleb Conley on this show and think for 1 minute that he's going to guest co-host and ruin everything that we've worked so hard to build, young lady, you've got another thing coming. So I don't want to hear no Caleb Conley, no Caleb Conley on this program next week. Not a bit. And I mean it. So there. That's what I got to say about that.
Now it's just a matter of she listens.
No, she never listens to me anyway. She does what she wants to do. God, I hope she doesn't have him.
She is one of the things.
Again, my friend, you are going to be involved in a skewer match. You don't want to be involved in a skillet match come tonight.
Well, no, because it's about bedtime.
Yeah, you're right. It is about bedtime. I hear you. Folks, we certainly appreciate you. We appreciate you listening tonight, Terry. I want to thank you very much for being on the air with me tonight, brother. I enjoyed it as always.
Hey, buddy, it's all a pleasure of mine to be for you to allow me to be here. You know, I mean, I won the contest somehow, but you know, if it wasn't for y'all letting me be here, I wouldn't be here. So, more thanks back to y'all than it is to me.
Not a problem at all. And again, Terry will be in action coming up April the 12th. And I know that you gave us the other date on the show, but this one here, this Milestone Wrestling show against Colt 45, the winner is the person that has the most skewers in his head or something like that. It's just beyond me. Better you than me, my brother.
I'll probably be saying the same thing afterwards.
I
had to get there first.
I hear you. Folks, we really appreciate you tuning in tonight. We're here every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. If you'd like to download this, you can download it through Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on iTunes. If you go to the iTunes page, type in Armory in the search bar, hit enter, and then go down to podcasts and click that link. You can find us on iTunes. The download is 100% free. Certainly appreciate you taking the time to listen tonight. Laura will be back here with you next week, and I will have a report the following week on all the craziness that is New Orleans. So thank you very much for listening tonight, folks. Terry, I thank you again, my friend, for being with us. Folks, we'll see you again here next week, same time. And remember, there is never a bad seat here at the Armory. Thank you, folks. Have a good night.